your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1135. We'll read the first three verses only. We'll read these verses in unison. We'll turn to yet another scripture and read just a few verses there as well. John 14, verses 1 through 3, page 1135 in your Schofield Bible. Let's stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist Church, to stand during the reading of the Word of God. Let's read together, please. Ready? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Turn now to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. In your Schofield Bible, page 1214, 1-2-1-4. And we're reading verses 12 through 15. These verses we can read responsibly. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And let's pray. And Father, it's an exciting thing to be in this place. A lot's going on today. A lot of things are happening, and all of it adds up to eternal value. And we're thankful for our church, and of course for our preacher. Thank you for the sweetness and the sanctity of the Lord's Supper time. But now we thank you for this service and for the preaching. We pray that you'd prepare our hearts certainly for the Word and give us an intention to hear and to do that which we should do concerning the Word of God. We thank you for this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
I always make this promise and I always keep it. It is 11:40. Usually I begin speaking about 11:30, 11:25. The Lord's Supper occupies the first 30 minutes of our service the first Sunday morning. I promise you that by 12:10, I'll be finished preaching. I promise you that our service will end by 12:30. And that promise will be kept. I may even finish sooner, but I promise you, and those who come here know that I keep that promise. We're behind schedule, but you need not worry. If it gets around 12:07, 12:08, and you think I'm in my introduction, I'll just introduce the sermon and quit. But you wonder if I'm ever going to find the landing strip because my mind is foggy. That was really funny, I think. But thank you very much. But I want to speak this morning on the most practical sermon on heaven you ever heard in your life. It's called, How Is Your Mansion Coming? Actually, what I mean is, how's it going? How's the building program? How is your mansion coming? I hope you'll let me have a chance at your Father. Speak to my heart and through me to the hearts of the people in a special way today. Amen. Set up straight, right this way, and no one moving around while I preach. I ask that no one leave the service. Everybody very still and quiet. This August 30th, I will have completed 38 years as pastor of this church if I live till then, or if you don't fire me before then. For 38 years, I've tried to make heaven real to you. I don't mean make you believe there is a heaven. I mean try to make heaven a place. I go, said the Savior, to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I've tried for all these years to convince you that heaven is a real place. I doubt that if I ever have made it as real as I plan to make, be sure and be, everybody be quiet and sit, have a seat back in the back now. No one standing. Everybody find a seat right quickly. I doubt if I've ever made heaven as real as I want to make it, and I plan to make it this morning. Now listen carefully. I'm convinced that heaven, as I said in my Sunday school class a while ago, is in the northern part of the planetary system. My Bible says salvation does not come from the east. It does not come from the west. It does not come from the south. It does not mention the fact that salvation does not come from the north. They tell us that up in the northern part of the planetary system, there is a dark place where they see no planets, no lights at all. They say occasionally there's a little flash of a light, and then that's all they ever see. I think that's heaven. You say, well, what's that occasional flash of the light? They open the doors, let a new one come in. That's what it is. But I believe it is a much like a planet, a real, honest, goodness place. I think it is as real as the sun, the moon, Earth, or Mars. We're told that heaven has a river, a real river. We're told it has a tree of life, a real tree. We're told it has a river of life, a real river. We're told it has gates of pearl, real gates. We're told it has streets of gold. That's real streets. We're also told in our text a while ago that we will live in mansions. I go to prepare, didn't say I go to prepare a spook place for you. Didn't go to say I go to prepare an invisible place where a bunch of blindfolded spirits will float around in a vacuum for eternity. No, Jesus himself said, now if you can't depend on Jesus, you can't depend on anybody. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Now listen carefully. I go to prepare a place for you. That doesn't just simply mean a place where you will live. I'm there for you. I'm working for you. See? I am there working for you, just like a fellow says, I'm building a house for you. Jesus said, I prepare a place for you. Now, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, that we, listen to me carefully now, that we are furnishing the materials for that mansion. That's what it says. It says that some are building on the foundation of Christ, which is salvation. Some Christian people are building mansions of gold and silver and precious stone. On the other hand, some people are building mansions of wood and hay and stubble. What does that mean? That means that he is preparing a place for you with whatever materials that you're sending up for him to use. Now listen carefully. A lot of you, they sing a little song. A little cabin in the corner of glory land. Well, fooey on that. Cabin in the corner. That's, a lot of you folks won't have a cabin. You'll have a tent. That's all you sent up there. But the only simple truth is, we used to sing a song, there's a little pine log cabin waiting down in Welcome Valley. There's an open door, and when my row is over, I'm going back home. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible doesn't say I go prepare a cabin for you. My Bible doesn't say in my Father's house are many cabins, are many little cottages. My Bible said that God, Jesus, is going to prepare a place for us, and in that place are already many mansions. But in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24 and following, we have this this house mentioned, and it is preceded by the word therefore. That means that it connects it with the preceding, don't leave me now, it connects it with the preceding chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew, where it seems that the materials for your mansion are mentioned. In Matthew 7, 24, it talks about the house, building a house on a rock. And then in 1 Corinthians 3, as I said a while ago, it talks about, so some of you folks are sending up there wood, hay, and stubble, and you're going to live in a house of wood. I'm talking about a real house of wood, hay, and stubble. And others of you are sending up gold and silver and precious stone, and you'll be living in a nice, precious place. Now, he can only build your mansion with whatever materials that you send up. Now, look, I'm not talking about the degree of happiness. I'm talking about a place. I'm talking about a house. I'm talking about if you don't send up the materials, he can't build your mansion.
Now, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, we have this house mentioned. But the word therefore, connecting it with what is gone before, tells me that there are certain kind of materials that we are sent up to heaven and that will transfer into materials for your mansion. Now, I'm going to summarize what Matthew 5 and 6 teach us, because that's in case you want to live in a mansion in heaven, in case you want a pretty nice place there. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, you think a fellow like Pat Boone's going to go to heaven? Yeah, you may go to heaven. You live out in the edge of town. We'll run bus routes through that ghetto area. But you think of it, has good night, what's his name? Elvis Presley. You met Elvis Presley? Yeah, I did. Personally, that hand right there, shook hands with Elvis Presley. Haven't washed it since, been many years ago. And Elvis Presley, I asked him, do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? He said, yes, I do. And I said, why? He said, because when I was a boy years ago, I went to an old-fashioned revival meeting with my godly grandmother. And an old-fashioned preacher stood up. He told me this himself. An old-fashioned preacher stood up and preached the gospel and told me that I was a sinner and I was lost and that Jesus paid the price for my sins on the cross. And I went to a mourner's bench and knelt there and got saved. And you say, Brother House, you think that Elvis Presley is in heaven? Yeah, but not in a very nice place. He didn't send up material. Now, what are these materials? I summarize these materials for you. I want you to listen carefully. Now, hey, go ahead. Just go to sleep if you want to. And don't listen if you want to. But you, when you get there, you're going to be ashamed when some little servant gets up and lives in a very pretty mansion and you're living out in the servant's quarters behind his mansion. Now, if you don't send something up, you will not have the mansion you ought to have. And your mansion, I'm talking about a place with doors and windows and floors. I'm talking about a house. Your house will be just as nice as the following materials. I summarize Matthew 5 and 6. 1, your inward condition. Your inward condition. Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It talks about lust as being the same as adultery. It talks about hatred being as bad as murder. It talks about being angry without a cause. What am I saying? I'm saying that the very tangible, solid materials that are being used today in the building of your mansion are determined, one, by the condition of your heart. Let me ask you a question this morning. Look in your heart. You see any hatred there? How's your mansion coming so far? Look at your heart. You see any envy there? How is your mansion coming so far? Look at your heart. You see any lust there? You soap opera watchers, how is your mansion coming? You Playboy readers, how is your mansion coming? Your HBO, you HBO viewers, how is your mansion coming? You blockbuster movie renters, how is your mansion coming? You rock music lovers, how is your mansion coming? You girl watchers, how is your mansion coming? My Bible says that the beauty of your mansion, a tangible, solid fixture, a house in heaven, will be determined largely by the condition of your heart, your inward condition. Hatred, envy, jealousy, covetousness, lust, malice, vengeance. That's the material, number one, I called your attention this morning. Now, look, I want you to get me again. I'm not talking about how much you laugh in heaven, determined by by the condition of your heart. I'm talking about the accommodations of the house you live in forever will be determined by, largely, the material that you send by the condition of your heart. Now, wait a minute. I'm an old-fashioned fundamentalist, capital F, capital U, capital N. I've dot every fundamental I and cross every fundamental T. I'm against everything fundamentally supposed to be against, but I think there needs to be an old-fashioned revival of the condition of our hearts and our minds in fundamentalism. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. A second material that determines the mansion in which you live, the accommodations that you'll have. Second, oh boy, loving your enemies. In summarizing chapters 5 and 6 and 7, before we get to the building of our house in chapter 7, verse 24, we have over and over and over again in these materials, we're sending up to heaven the loving of our enemies. For example, these are quotes. Love your enemies. That's a command, by the way. Love your enemies. Bless, here's a quote. Bless those that curse you. How's your mansion coming? Do good to them that hate you. How is your mansion coming? A fellow wrote me a letter the other day. It's a nasty letter. Yeah, a real nasty letter. And then he put a P.S. on the bottom. He said, I didn't mean this, but I understand that you send a new Bible, everybody writes you a nasty letter. That's what it means. Do good. Now, I'll get a lot of nasty letters today. And most of you need Bibles. But I got some nasty letters. I just taught me a publishing company before I could get enough Bibles. But I'm saying, how's your mansion coming? Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How's your mansion coming? How's your mansion coming? Have you sent any materials up there which God can use to build your mansion? What kind of place you going? What neighborhood you going to live in? What kind of house you going to build? Loving your enemies is a part of the materials that we send to heaven that will determine the accommodations of our mansion. How about this? Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. How about that, you folks that are suing each other in court? How about that? How's your mansion coming? In fact, talking about that, listen, this is also in the scripture. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That's what it says. Well, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense to you. You're just a finite human being. But it makes sense to God. How's your mansion coming? Another, avenge not yourselves. How's your mansion coming? How about this one? Render good for evil. How's your mansion coming? How much good have you rendered people that have done you evil? How about this one? Judge not. How about this one? Agree with thine adversary. How about this one? If you love those that love you, what reward have you? He's saying if you love those that love you, that doesn't put one bit of gold on your mansion. But he's saying if you love your enemies, let me stop and praise the Lord here. I'm a very fortunate man. I can do this. Man, if loving your enemies puts a material to heaven for my mansion, I have the opportunity to have the biggest mansion in heaven. You won't even get to see me because I'll have a million rooms in my house. I want to tell you something. Look at that heart, right at that chest right there. And folks hate me all over the world. But I promise you, there is not one bit of hatred in that heart for anybody in the whole world. And the bitterest enemy I have in the world, if he has a need, I'll supply it for him if I know he has that need. Why? I don't want to live in a little pine log cabin. I don't want a cabin in a corner of glory land. I want a mansion over the hilltop. About time you start loving your enemies. Hey, I'll get him. But you'd also won't have a roof on your mansion in heaven. Ask a question this morning. Do you love your enemies? Do you do good for those that despitefully use you? Ask you, do you bless those that hate you? Now, ladies and children, we don't want you saying anything. Men, you say amen and yes, but not the ladies and the children. Now listen carefully to me. I'm a very fortunate man because I have many enemies. That's what it means in Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Number 3. What sends forth materials for the type of accommodations that I have when I get to heaven? I said number 1, your condition, your inward condition. I said number 2, loving your enemies. Number 3. Being right with each other. Being right with each other. All over Matthew 5:6-7, you have this matter of being right with each other. Such statements as, blessed are the merciful. Such statements as, blessed are the peacemakers. Such statements as, be not angry with your brother without a cause. Listen to me. Such statements as, be reconciled to thy brother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Hey. There are people here in this room this morning who are going to have poorer accommodations in heaven because you are not getting along. Listen to me, I'm preaching to you. You're not getting along with somebody in your own family. You young people not get along with mom and dad. Don't you expect to have a pretty nice place in the glory world? God said, I can only use whatever materials you send up. Send up some enemy loving. Send up some pure hearts. Send up some getting along with each other. I'm talking to married people in this room this morning. Disengage with other members of your family. I'm talking about people in this room this morning not getting along with your own family members. I'm talking to folks in this room this morning who are not right with some people in this room. I mean, listen. Hey, young folks, I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. I'm trying to tell you, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to wish one of these days you're listening to what I'm saying this morning. Now, you listen to me. You folks that won't speak to each other, God have mercy on that kind of childishness. Very idea of a couple of people go to the same church that won't speak. They don't make the man I won't speak to on the street. And be kind to. Now, I'm trying to tell you that if you do not be good to each other, and if you're not right with each other, I'm talking to folks today in this room. There are people at work from whom you're estranged. They're neighbors. Now, this is a summary of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached, ending it with, therefore, we're building a house. What materials are you sending? How's your mansion coming? How's your mansion coming? If your mansion's accommodation depend this morning on your inward condition of your heart and the loving of your enemies and you're getting along with each other, some of you fellows can't get along with the woman you live with, your wife. Some of you wives can't get along with your husband. What kind of tomfoolery is that? What kind of Christianity is that? Number four, the materials that you send to heaven are determined by the inward condition of your heart, by your loving your enemies, by your getting along with each other, and then I summarize also the Sermon on the Mount, by your good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now look at me. I'm not talking about, by good works, putting coins at the stoplight to in a little box that somebody holds out to your window. That's not good works. I'm not talking about buying soap for disabled veterans. I'm not talking about $1 to the Salvation Army during Christmas season. I'm not talking about giving to the United Fund that goes to things I wouldn't even support. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's people sacrificially clothing the cold, feeding the hungry, visiting the sick, living for others. I'm talking about courtesy, kindness, generosity, friendliness, a life of unselfishness. Now you listen to me. Well, as long as I get there, that's all I want. That's the way you feel right here, but you will you get there. You will you get to heaven. Some of you folks, your signature can change tens of thousands of dollars from one account to the other. Listen to me. Listen, young people. Hey, I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. Some of you folks whose signature can transfer tens of thousands of dollars. And some of you folks live in mighty pretty houses. You get to heaven. You're going to live out in the slum somewhere if you don't heed what I'm talking about. Your accommodations, I'm talking about solid accommodations in heaven, be determined by the materials that you send there. How's your mansion coming? How about your thought life? How about the meditations of your heart? How about your loving your enemies? How about your getting along with people? And how about your good works? Let me tell you what I mean. I mean a college young man who goes to school by day and works by night, but gives his Saturdays to a bus route in the ghettos of Chicago area. That's what I'm talking about, good works. That's material for a mansion. Let me tell you what I mean. I'm talking about scores of people in this church sacrificially help pay the tuition for bus kids to go to City Baptist grade school or City Baptist high school. That's what I'm talking about. That's material you're sending to heaven. I'm talking about a college young lady who walks the streets of Chicago 6, 7, 8, 10 hours on Saturday. Rain, sleet, snow, zero, 90, doesn't matter. Trying to help young people in the ghettos of Chicago who live in a concrete jungle. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your pious look as you drop that 50 cents in that little coin, that little container that the Rotary Club holds out to you when you stop for a stoplight. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, do you live your life for somebody else? I'm talking about young couples leaving this country, family and friends, to go to a new foreign land to tell others the way to heaven. I'm talking about a Jeff and Joy Ryder living in a near, with near savages in a New Guinea jungle to get the gospel to a few people who've never heard and translate the Bible to a few people who would never get to read the Bible. I'm talking about you're living for somebody else. I'm talking about a Marlene Evans sticking her tongue out at death while continuing to help those with years to live. I'm talking about a Pam Hibbard who, without her husband or a child, gives her life to young people who might never have loved or been loved. I'm talking about a Dr. Tom Neal who anonymously helps more preachers than any man I know. I'm talking about a Joe Wittig who behind the scenes helps as many people as any member of this church I know. I'm talking about a Maxine Jeffries who has never known the love of a husband or the caresses of a child and yet brings help and cheer to deaf and shut-in people. I'm talking about a Johnny Colston whose dedication to the sick, the bereaved, and dying knows no end. I'm talking about a Belinda Castile who has braved the tornadic winds of adversity to mother hundreds of young ladies in our dormitories at Howells Anderson College. I'm talking about Dr. Jeff Owens, who brings hope to hundreds of high school, public school students who never know or knew the comfort of a Christian home. I'm talking about a group of ladies who faithfully go to rest homes each week to bring cheer to those in a prison of loneliness. I'm talking about a handful of Christian school teachers who live under the poverty level in order to give hope for tomorrow. I'm talking about Dr. Cowling with his Ph.D. from Georgia Tech going to the ghettos over 20 years to bring poor and deprived people to hear the message of God. I'm talking about a group of First Baptist Church men on Saturday night going to the Lower Wacker Drive and bring those homeless people up there to church. How's your mansion coming? How many hungry bodies have you fed lately? How's your mansion coming? How many cold people have you clothed with a coat lately? How's your mansion coming? How many fallen people have you lifted lately? How's your mansion coming? How much unselfish giving have you given to others lately? How is your mansion coming? I believe with all of my heart in a heaven. I believe with all of my... That's one reason why at First Baptist Church you won't get some formal highbrow worship service on Sunday morning. We're trying to change your life, not give you a chance to bring your backslidden life in here and acknowledge the presence of a deity up in the sky somewhere. Now you listen to me, folks. I believe in heaven. I believe that because Jesus said it, heaven has mansions. I believe there are houses that are real and streets that are real. And my accommodation that I'll enjoy when I get there are determined by what I send from earth to heaven. And as I summarize, I read five times the Sermon on the Mount, five times this week, every day I read the Sermon on the Mount five times. I tried to summarize it to find out what the materials are. And I found four great categories of materials we can send to heaven. One, inner purity. Two, loving my enemies. Three, getting along with the body of the people of God. And number four, doing good works. Old story. Haven't told it in years. Most of you never heard it. Some of you have. Years ago, Dr. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, was to speak. He was an old man. His health was failing. His eyesight was gone. He was totally blind. It came time for the great international convention. 5,000 delegates came. I think it was in London.
word came that for the first time, the moderator got the word for the first time in the history of the Salvation Army movement, General Booth could not attend the convention. He could not address that great crowd. Somebody found out about it, and the moderator sent word to General Booth. Would you please send a message, a telegram that we can read to the people to open this first session of the Salvation Army? General Booth agreed to do so. He had never missed. It was his. He gave birth to the Salvation Army back in true when it was a Salvation Army. General Booth sent a message. The moderator reached in his pocket, said, "Ladies and gentlemen," he said, "our founder, General Booth, cannot be here today. He's blind and ill and too ill to come. For the first time, he'll not be in our convention. However, he has sent me this telegram to read to you and this message for you as we open the convention," as he gaveled the convention this session. And this is what he read. "Dear delegates of the Salvation Army, others, sign, General Booth. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Lord, let me live for others that I may live like Thee." Ask your question. How's your mansion coming? Hey, how's your mansion coming? Huh? What kind of materials have you sent up? What's the condition of your heart? Look at it. You see envy, hatred, bitterness, lust, jealousy? What's the condition of your heart? Clean it out! Get on your face and ask God to give you a clean heart so you can send some materials to heaven. And ask your question. How do you feel towards your enemies? Huh? Those that hate you. Those that despitefully use you. Ask your question. Anybody you're not getting along with? Ask your question. Are you doing good works? Are you living for others? These four things summarize the materials in the Sermon on the Mount that we're to send ahead to make our accommodations in heaven. Would you bow your heads, please?
Your Bible.